The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
My name is Elbert Lewis Jr.
And I'm Alan McIntyre. And together we welcome you back to our show, Black on Black Commentary. And the intended audience for our show is the black community. Yet others are encouraged and welcome to tune in. Each and every one of us has a unique bias when it comes to change or certain subjects. And I should warn you that the content of our program episodes is probably unlike anything you've heard coming out of the black community.
Again, I'd like to welcome you back and encourage you to keep an open mind and think for yourself. If you're not African American, we hope you'll listen in to our show as well. Our program is intended to educate our listeners and provoke serious thought. Each of our episodes will deal with a different topic of importance. Are you ready for some open and honest black-on-black commentary? Great, because it's time we talked. How you doing, Alan? It's
been a while. Yes, it has.
I want to do things a little differently this time, and I want to pose a couple of questions to you about the state of the union, the state of our general society. And the first question I want to ask is, do all lives matter in America? I'm sure you know it's been a hot topic with the latest shootings of police and vice versa. I want to come at it first from a perspective, from a historical perspective. As far as the value of lives in America. We know from the very founding of the Union that all lives were not valued the same. The white immigrants from Europe were at the top of the heap. Then you have indentured servants. Then you had slaves. And probably Indians were down there somewhere on the level with slaves. So from the very beginning, all lives didn't matter equally in this country. After slavery, we had the three-fifths person rule. We had segregation. We had denial of equal rights, denial of opportunity for a century or more. So historically, all lives have not mattered equally in this country. So now we get to come to the present time, and there's a big debate out there about how much lives matter, especially black lives in this country. And from my perspective, I don't know how you feel about it, but the way I feel about it, the value of life has to come first from the people we're talking about, whether it be black, white, brown, yellow. That's where the value has to spring from. And if black lives don't matter to black people, how can we as a people expect anyone else to value our lives? That's the way I see it, because I don't think people are born valuing themselves over others or vice versa. I think people's value come from themselves. And I'm just wondering how you feel about it.
Well, first of all, when you talk about it from a historical perspective, you have to go back to the founding of this country. And quite often people say, well, the founding fathers owned slaves. And if you look at it like that, you would have to say then the lives of black people didn't matter very much to the founding fathers. But what people don't identify is that only 15 of the 56 founding fathers owned slaves. And that's only 26% of the founding fathers. So if we look at it purely from a statistical perspective, we can make the argument that, okay, 26% of the founding fathers didn't necessarily place value on black lives, but 74% did. Then we have to look at the Constitution. The Constitution said that all men are created equal. It didn't say white men or this. It didn't show any preference towards color at all in the Constitution. When we look it up, it doesn't even mention race. So we have to say the document, as it is written, gave value to all lives. Now, there were some people that distorted that. And how did they distort it? They wanted to own slaves. In particular, all those people were Democrats. Let's look at it from a political angle. Republicans didn't own slaves. This is a fact. We know no Republicans owned slaves, and this is something people can research and conclude that you can't find where any Republican elected officials owned slaves. But you can certainly find over and over again where Democrat elected officials did own slaves. So now when we look at it from a political perspective and we look at the facts, we can say that the Democrat Party has a history of making a clear statement that black lives don't matter. As where the Republican Party, which is the party of abolitionists and people that fought for civil rights for black people, we can say that to the Republicans, black lives did matter. In particular, the Republican Party was started to stop the spread of slavery. What we really have in this country is a situation where to Democrats, black lives did not matter, and not just historically, but present day, you know, within the Republican Party, black lives do matter.
I agree with just about everything you said, but to my way of thinking, the value of black lives is not going to come from Democrats or Republicans. It's not going to come from the majority population at all. I think the value of black lives, if it's going to matter, it's got to come from the black community.
No, I agree with you 100%, but I said what I said to establish, well, that matters.
Right.
It does matter. It's necessary for other people to value our lives. But first and foremost, it's necessary for us to value our own lives.
Right. So what you're saying
is, it's obvious that we don't value our own
lives.
Right.
So you're saying constitutionally, legally, there is no difference.
And as a matter of historical record, you know, which I just laid out, we can see what other groups of people did value our lives. Now, let's turn to us valuing our own lives.
Yeah. Well, how do you get to the point where some of us have to take to the street and make the case for black lives matter? Because from my perspective, my life matters to me.
Absolutely.
My friends, my family, the people I associate with, they matter to me.
Absolutely.
So why is it people have to take to the street and try to make the case that black lives matter?
Well, first of all, black life matters to you because we know that you aren't going to go out and do anything to destroy a black life.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Now, there are
except
plenty
in self-defense.
Except in the case of self-defense, and you're justified. But what we see happening in the communities is we see black lives being eradicated day in and day out by other black people.
Right.
So we can safely say, based on the statistics and what we see, is that black lives don't matter to black people, yet they want to go out here and march and complain about a few shootings between police and black men, armed or unarmed. And just because a man is unarmed doesn't necessarily mean that that cop was unjustified in shooting them. Okay? And yeah, do cops make mistakes? Do people put themselves in situations where they can potentially get shot by the police? Yeah, we know that happens. But
right,
is it a common practice in the United States of America for police to shoot unarmed black men that are posing no threat? Absolutely not. And we have to take everything on a case-by-case basis. And what you generally see, once all the hype surrounding the situation has died down and all the facts come to the surface and are evaluated, more times than not, the police are justified or there was an honest mistake that was made.
I agree. Cops are human beings. They make mistakes. But I see across the board and just about every case there is a reluctance to own up to that mistake. And even at the time of the incident, there is a reluctance of cops to own up to a mistake. They tend to want to gloss over it or create a situation where they don't have to own up to it. But I will agree with you, it's a minute percentage of the time.
Absolutely.
When you consider the number of interactions between police and the black community,
absolutely,
the percentage of incidences where we have questionable shootings and killings is minute.
Absolutely.
But I think the problem is we haven't demonstrated that black lives matter.
To the rest of the world, we haven't demonstrated that.
Oh, right. To ourselves and the rest of the world.
As a spectator, other communities and people around the world are looking in saying, wow, these people really don't have any problem exterminating themselves. Number one, through violence. Number two, through me selling lethal drugs to you. And number three, not necessarily in that order, actually we would probably have to reverse the order, abortions. So we can't reasonably run around talking about Black Lives Matter when we constantly exterminate ourselves through violence, drugs, and abortions.
So it comes down to two problems. And to my way of thinking, there are two intractable problems. You have a percentage of the Black community committing a huge percentage of the crime.
Absolutely.
They foster a belief among the general white population, and certainly among cops, that this segment of the community, being Black males, are dangerous.
Wait, you left out a group. They also put that impression in other Black people's heads.
Right. Well,
for example,
yeah.
Like me and you.
Yeah.
You know, so we have to be leery of them. We have to keep one eye open and on them. You know, I understand that the statistics have proven that when I leave out of my house and before I return at the end of the day, it's very likely that if I am in a situation, it's going to be another Black person that is perpetrating that crime against me. There's just no denying that.
Right,
so
the numbers don't lie.
That's my problem.
The numbers don't lie.
And that's who I have to look out for.
Right. Okay. Putting myself in the mindset of a policeman, especially a white policeman, knowing the numbers that 6% of the population responsible for 40, 50, maybe 60% of the crime and violent crime out there, if I see someone that's in that demographic, already I have a mindset. I have a mindset. And it's somewhat justified.
No, it's not somewhat justified. It's completely justified.
Okay, somewhat. Okay, completely justified. However you want to look at it.
Hey, guess what? First thing we want to do in our community is say we want to complain about racial profiling. Okay? But we create the scenario where other groups of people can't help but identify that this guy is a potential threat.
Right. Okay, fine. Now, let me set the other side of this problem. The other side, the other intractable part of the problem is that 10% of Black people, 6% of the population in general. How do we deal with a situation where the community doesn't seem to have the means to get a handle on this segment of the population? And it continues year after year, decade after decade, generation after generation. You have this segment of Black people who commit a huge percentage of the crime. For the most part, the Black community knows who they are. They know who the criminals are. They might be your brothers, uncle, cousin, whatever, son. They know who they are. And yet, this situation continues. And then you have the other half of the problem, white people, cops especially, seeing all this crime being committed. So how do we change that dynamic? I personally don't see a reasonable means of changing that dynamic, and I don't see an end to this.
The biggest
obstacle
that we have in addressing that issue is that a lot of this comes from lack of home training and things of that nature. Now, it's very difficult for a government, a society, to deal with the issue of kids being inadequately taught at home. That's a difficult thing to deal with. And quite often, the means that you come up with in order to deal with that is really going to be pretty much like a Band-Aid. Because it's very hard to undo what wasn't done at home. It's very hard to solve a problem that was created at home because of an inadequacy within that household. I mean, how do you address that? You have to actually get a person and reprogram them.
Right.
But what we can do is we can create real true systems of rehabilitation within the prison system. For example, we can make sure that these people are not left in prison with a lot of idle time, learning how to be better criminals, and so on and so forth.
Oh, yeah,
so,
I've always said, if you go to prison.
They have to learn a trade.
If you go
Never
to prison,
mind college.
No, if you go to
trade
prison,
so
you learn
they are
a trade,
immediately
but you should be working about 12 hours a day.
Yeah, well, you should be working to pay restitution towards society.
Absolutely.
You should have to learn a trade.
Kids.
And then you should also have to spend a certain amount of time practicing whatever religious faith you are a part of, because that helps.
Okay, now that's one half of the problem. Now, the cops.
Well, here's
that's the other. And I want to stipulate this. I believe sincerely that the large majority, overwhelming majority of cops are good people. They're out there doing good work, probably in a high 90% wise. But for a fact, there are some bad apples out there.
You're right,
and,
but here's
and my problem, and the reason I think you have a Black Lives Matter, and I think most of them have probably good intentions, is because time after time they see the bad apples getting away with doing things that they should have been at the minimum kicked off the force, at the worst being charged with murder and sent to prison for the rest of their life.
But listen,
how do we as a society deal with that? Because once that happens, it seems the system closes ranks around somebody that doesn't deserve that protection. And
can I say this real quick?
Sure.
One of the problems with Black Lives Matter, and I think they're a fraudulent organization, period, is that why do they only focus on the shootings where it's a white cop shooting a black
person? Well, that's why they lack credibility.
When black cops shoot black people, too. Right. And real quick, let me say this in closing. The Black Lives Matter movement is funded by the liberal left. The liberal left is the biggest threat and the biggest enemy of the black community, but they have portrayed themselves as the largest advocate.
Well, I agree with that. And Black Lives Matter is not going to solve the problem.
No.
The problem of the bad apple cops is going to have to be solved by the system. The DAs, the judges, they're going to have to somehow deal with that. Because if they were dealing effectively with the bad apple cops, Black Lives Matter wouldn't even exist, whether they have credibility or not. So I see the two problems have to be dealt with by the two segments of the population. The black community got to deal with the criminals, and the system has to deal with the bad apple cops.
That's the
only thing that's going to work.
One last statement. Black Lives Matter is not a response to bad cops. It really isn't. It comes out of something else, but we can't even cover that right now.
I agree. It's a huge problem.
Right.
Give it some thought, and together, perhaps we can all ensure our country's future history and have it be something we could be proud of.